Good morning. Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. It's the time of the early morning that we look at the affairs of business and the affairs of trade, global issues, and everything that, you know, affect our bread and butter and also the way we deal with finance. It's the 31st of March. 2026, and it's 11 minutes past the hour of 6. And you must know and understand that, you know, the year is going, 2026 is going, and every day we are always reminding you that you do not have enough time. You do not have enough time if you continue planning. You do not have the luxury of time. That's why the Prime Minister always saying dust must be seen. And we are saying, particularly at this critical moment, it's not only about the dust must be seen, we must not see anything, we must be in the dust. And that is the dust of development to say, we must be in the dust working. Same dust must be seen everywhere. There is a lot of things happening, particularly on the global front, at the continental level, and in Namibia too, especially when you are trying to put on gear 2 and 3 at the same time, especially to defend our economy based on what is happening around, and also to see if we can keep stability around, you know, the financial situation. And also we can make sure that those who are at the edge of economic operation, those who are at the edge of economic development, they get one thing or two. Because inequality is the most painful thing, especially if the country is faced with uncertainty. And if you hit a country with the highest gap in terms of economic inequality, with something like drought, something like COVID-19, you expect much of the vulnerability and also a lot of you know, painful cases. But we see that before we go to news, there are things that we can see progress. And I'm very happy with what I'm seeing, especially from the Ministry of Health, to say Dr. Vidal hit the ground running. No, she came at, I think it was a very difficult start, especially looking at politics and all these things, but you can see that, the doctor is working, and, maybe the staff of health, I think they also believe in the leadership, and it's a very good thing where a person is doing well. We must see. We also want to see other ministries. There are those that we have never had, but when you look at Eben, you also see something moving away. But, there are also those that, either their work are not being seen, or they are just not doing what can be recognized. But, you know, those are some of the things that we can say. We are in a country that is moving, although we need to make sure that we put the gear that should remove all doubts from everybody. Looking at what is happening around the world, and also looking at what is happening in the continent of Africa. So, it's, when you look at, Nigeria, I'm always telling people to say Nigeria, how come Nigeria become the most, unsafe place? How come Nigeria become the most unsafe place? Who are the causes of this, tragic accidents, and also tragic, you know, the terrorism act which are happening in Nigeria? And also to look at the government of Bola Tinubu. So it's going through a lot of tests. It's going through a lot of tests. It's indicated that gunmen attack a bar in Jos, Nigeria, leaving 33 dead. 33 people died. And it was a bloodbath. It was a bloodbath because normally, even if you have 5 gunmen killing a person, 33 people in one day, it's a coordinated attack. You realize that the terrorists are slipping away through the codes of Nigerian defense, plus also the U.S. Army, which is there trying to assist. But it seems like things become so violent now. Stated that gunmen opened fire on a bar in Jos, the capital of Nigeria, Plateau State, triggering mob retaliation and leaving at least 33 people dead. According to local sources, the attack took place on Sunday evening in Agua Lukumba area of Jos North. Initial report said that 3 store people were killed when unidentified attackers opened fire at the bar and restaurant. The death toll later rose to 33, although it remains unclear how many died in shooting and how many died, as a subsequent of mob violence. A local youth leader said the attackers targeted people at the venue before formed and began attacking passengers nearby. Nigeria is becoming the most unsafe country. Looking at what is happening, looking at terrorism, and also looking at the aspect of uncoordinated, and also the difficulty of either the military and the police too, because now you don't know if it's the jihadist from a different group. Is it the Al-Qaeda? Is it, other militia? Is it Boko Haram? Because things are becoming tougher and tougher in that country. And it has indeed the impact to the continental trade, because the moment one of the biggest economies in Africa becoming unsafe to trade, then you must know that other countries will also feel that pain. And the question should always be asked to say, if the game plan is to make sure that we are trading internally in the continent of Africa, are we safe to do so? Are we safe to trade internally? Have we silenced the guns? Have we stopped the violence? Because if you look in Sudan also, people are fighting with drones now, because the war is not no more about AK-47. Because if you have an AK-47 now, you are outdated. It's like you are using, you are going to a gunfight with a knife. Because the militias, people have drones, and you are just wondering to say, how much have cost this drone compared to what those countries are going through? And the question you should always ask yourself is to say, why there is more money to fight than there is no money to upgrade the living standard? Because you find out that countries that are suffering of poverty, they actually have better weapons to fight, but not to give food to their people. And it's really a concern that we should look at as Africans. So let's get a short commercial break, then we'll be able to continue giving you what is happening in the continent of Africa, and also what is happening around the world, particularly when you are speaking about intensified global conflict, and you see players are getting involved, and here Cuba was suffering because United States just cut the plug and make sure that there is no energy going there, there is no oil, because Venezuela, which was almost the main source, have been stopped because America took over that administration. And you realize that Putin sent it's a huge ship of oil to Cuba, and it was guarded either by jet fighters, and it was guarded by also other naval forces to make sure that it reached Cuba, and just to make sure that the people of Fidel and Raul, at least they get one or two. Because Cuba, if you close down Cuba to the world, I think that is an unfair thing to do. Because if you close down Cuba, it's not only about ideological difference or history of competition. Because if you close down Cuba from the world, you realize that you are not only losing a strategic partner, but Cuba has been a global influencer. Whether with or without sanction, Cuba has been, a global influencer. And looking into that context, you must also be able to understand that it was Cuba which assisted the world, especially with research and also with new medical techniques during COVID-19. When people were dying in and out, dying, in thousands, particularly in Italy, Cuba, instead of sending weapons, they send an army of doctors with the flag of Cuba. And what they have done It was incredible. But when you look at what is going on in Cuba now, based on sanction, you really realize to say sometimes America must also, you know, just allow people to breathe. Because you cannot punish a political administration and millions of people are suffering. It's actually not in line. And let's see what will happen moving forward. Let's go to a short commercial break, then we'll come back shortly.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipura nenge no wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondo toto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite opoewe ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
of the early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM. The eye.
The eye. The eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with the Early Morning Scoop and looking at that case. Looking at the case of Cuba. And, it was stated that yesterday, a Russian oil tanker arrived in Cuba as Moscow is standing with Havana. And, seems like, apart from what is happening, Russia have shown a very generous offer, especially it's an assistance, it's not an aid, it's not a trade. Such an assistant to an old friend, especially looking at, Cuba. It was stated that, Russia indicated that on Monday, an oil tanker carrying 100,000 metric tons of crude oil and arrive in Cuba, and Moscow will stand by its friends by working on further supplies despite U.S. blockade of communist-run Iceland. And remember that, you know, after U.S. cut off Venezuela oil export to Cuba, after Maduro, realize that the thing about Maduro, it was a long-term strategic move by United States of America. And remember that whatever is on the table, either is him being suspected of funding terrorism and also being part of, you know, the drunk and, you know, trade. Must remember that when you look at the actions that have followed after, surprisingly, just the new year of 2026, it was not good for Venezuela. Just the third day, Maduro was airlifted from his palace. You don't know what happened. People are still trying to understand that scenario. To say even you cannot just come from anywhere and you are capturing even a chief here in Africa, but capturing a president like you are capturing a young boy just from anywhere. It's quite surprising because it also shows a lot about trust too. But the center of argument here is that after Maduro went down and arrested, President of United States, Donald Trump, indicated that Cuba, we don't even need to attack Cuba, it will naturally fall. And that is exactly what happened because they have cut out the supply of oil because Cuba depended more on the oil from Venezuela. In exchange, they were exchanging technical know-how. Either it's military assistance, either it's medical research. But with this context, Cuba have been suffering. But you must also be able to remember that during the time of crisis, there are always those one or two friends that can come over. And that one was Russia. Russia has deployed that thing. And you see that because it's not only about oil, it's also about gas. And this Iceland, island has been suffering. And Cuba received that 100,000 metric tons.
Easter's cheaper with extra low prices at Furman Brock. Get 2 kg Tastic rice for $36.99, a 2-liter Coca-Cola for only $21.99, 2 kg Sunlight hand or auto washing powder for $54.99, and 9 Twin Saver 2-ply toilet rolls for only $69.99. Hop on over to furmanbrock.com to see more Easter bargains at WB. We care.
This Easter, the road chooses no favorites, and someone is waiting for you at home. So ask yourself before you drive, is your speed worth a ticket? Are your tires safe? Can you be seen? And are you sober enough? Make the right choice and respect the road rules this Easter holiday. Do the right thing and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Yeah, and this time is showing you that in the time of need, you see who your friends are, and you see who is going to assist you. And the question should also be to African countries, to say, you know, African countries, we must also be taking a blame sometimes. Because when you look at the history, the history of liberation, you realize to say, it's not only Cuba, countries that have assisted us after we got independence, we are just saying, no, we are in solidarity. In solidarity with the people of Cuba. And solidarity without anything is really not helpful. And you also ask Namibia to say, the late Fidel Castro was one of the main allies of Namibia during difficult time. And he sent without expecting any payment. He sent his military guys. So they died here in Angola for Angola and Namibia. But the question is that when Cuba is going down, what are we doing? Have we even sent one bank of maize? Because sometimes you don't need to send everything. At least show that you are present. Even one box of, you know, fish. Just to show that at least, you know, we are there. But we cannot just continue saying, no, we are in solidarity. Because we must help others that have been assisting us because things will not always be the same. We can't just be on the receiving end, but we are not helping. We know our people are suffering, but at least one or two things can also show that you are there and you are assisting with what you can. But only saying we are in solidarity with the people of Cuba, we are in solidarity with the people of Venezuela, we are in solidarity with the people of Palestine, and just on the table. It may sound good diplomatically, but sometimes assistance, especially to Cuba, to say food is coming, food is on the way. At least one or two people will be able to appreciate, because if you look at China, the beginning of this year, China delivered 60,000 tons of emergency shipment of rice to Cuba and to combat several food shortage and due to, you know, when you look at the country such as Cuba, which has been collapsing due to aid cut and also economic embargo that has been there, it has been an economic sanction of USA for over 60 years. It has been cut out from the world, but it's stated that that amount of rice was also supplemented with 15,000 tons. And that is a distribution that China has made. China made a move. And also, Russia gave an assistance. And remember that the world is changing. It's inevitable. It's undeniable to know that the world is changing. And if you are not putting your trade policy in order, you find yourself at the wrong side of history too. Because those who understand how the future looks like, they are already putting their, you know, cards ahead, say Russia, saying no, we cannot let Cuba go, and also other countries. And the question is that when you have been getting assistance for the past 36 years, which country did you also assist, or you just need assistance, either in terms of technical know-how, because there's always something that you can give, because it's not only Namibia, but other countries too, because when it comes to the trade, and we are going to discuss it today, is faced with, global trade is faced with a lot of threats. Not only the Strait of Hormuz, the other straits which are about to be closed, maybe already closed now. Because, what is happening now, it's more than expected, and I don't think those who initiated that war have understood the outcome, because it looks like there is no end game. And it's catastrophic everywhere. But that will be the center of our discussion. It will be the center of our discussion today. And also to ask a question to say, when it comes to Namibia, apart from putting money on the table, apart from saying we got you, what is the long-term plan? Because there is a danger in short-term solution. Because if you have a lot of short-term solution, you realize that you are not curing the disease, you are curing the symptom. And for to cure the disease, you need long-term investment in that planning. So that is exactly what we are going to engage on today in that context. And on the other news, the president of Egypt has also warned that the oil price could hit 200 US dollars per barrel. And he stated that it's only Trump who has power to end this war. It's only Trump who has power to end this war. And I beg to differ, to say if you say it's only Trump who has power to end this war, how exactly is he going to end it? How exactly is he going to end it? Because the objective of war, the Middle East, was regime change and take down the leadership and have a revolt and control the Strait of Hormuz. But up to now, none of those objectives have been achieved. And when you look at the 5 points from Iran that they are demanding, you realize to say this war is not going to an end, to come to an end, because they are saying if you want us to end the war, we must agree to pay for the construction of our country. And you must also make sure that your military bases are removed from our vicinity. And many other points that you think they are direct contradiction of what is wanted. But at the end of the day, those who are experienced with negotiation will be able to find a way, especially on going through and navigate that process. Before we look at Sudan, let's look at a short commercial break. Then we look at Sudan, especially when it comes to peace, stability, and the question should always be the lesson learned to say, what is the commonalities that those countries have with our country? Why are the people fighting? Because the students of conflict resolution and peace studies look at the symptoms, look at the cause of conflict, and look at also the commonalities of incidents to say, when you speak about countries such as Sudan, what is that that they have? When you speak about a country such as Sudan, and there is an indication that it's going to be one of the top, fastest growing economies in 2026, what does that really mean? What resources do they have? Then you also study their policies to say, what policies do they have when it comes to oil and gas? And compare, do the benchmark, what ripples are there that can also cause it to be where it is? And why are the people fighting? Are the people fighting because they hate each other? Or are the people are fighting because of oil? And you learn from that to say, to avoid conflict of the case of wealth, then you must understand what you need to do, especially as an upcoming country. Then you can learn one thing or two, because there is always a saying which is obviously working to say, when other people are going down, do not celebrate and be there, somebody who break that bad news, but be there to learn, and understand, why are people going down? Why things are not well in Sudan? Why things are not well in DRC? Then understand that what can you do to prevent that situation. So let's look at a short commercial break, then we can continue with the conversation. However, you can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401, 083-288-401.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nengelo wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite okoye ekukorile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshuala. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo, o tukwetira o special ange, tashake ngeje pa omarudi dayo loka, opone ushendi fenawa, nukumona oijamo ili nawa, inge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM, onore tatu imwe mbali heali, nola natu heali mbali no heali ile kumberewa, nora hetatu natu, mbali o hetatu watatu, omafilane Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of
the early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM.
We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And it's 42 minutes past the hour of 6. And we understand that some of you are on your way to work. Some of you are returning. And we are always indicating to you that if you are awake and you are listening to Eagle FM Namibia and you do not have anything to do, make sure that at least you read and listen. And also make sure that you do one thing or two. Go on plan and also do something about Namibian development. Make sure that you go and ask people for assistance. Because sometimes we also have pride as Namibians to say, one of the things that put us down, we realize to say, there's this thing the Awambo people like saying, because sometimes you just need help. Go and ask for help. Nobody is going to do anything to you. Yes, people are going to talk that you were here asking for help, but sometimes go and ask for assistance. There's nobody who, because people don't know, they want you to speak up. Speak up that you need food, speak up that you need money, but you don't need things for free. What do you do? What can you do so that people can assist you? Because if you say you are a student and you don't have money, but you can wash clothes, you can clean houses, you can wash cars, don't just say people give me. Ask, but know that at least you can get one or two things. Because there are people who have really pride. And it's not the stupidity of life. It's just something that is not right. We'll find somebody who rather maintain that pride than and suffer, then just lower your pride and sometimes be humble and ask people for assistance that you are able, if you are not able to pay with money. If you are not able to pay with money, at least you can offer your work, do something legally that can be able to assist you, because sometimes in this economy, you can really see that, we are unequal. We are unequal and we should not continue blaming colonialism. There is something that we have done that have failed us. There are things that we did bad for that limit equal resource distribution. And we are seeing them every time in the newspaper and also in official documents where people are really doing bad things. But sometimes you need to ask for help so that you can be able to move forward. When your kids don't have food, go and ask. But at least respect the head that gives you. You can't get assistance and you think it's because a person just gave me this. Go and ask. But also, don't have that. Understand that the person who is helping you is also need assistance. But go and ask for assistance. And make sure that you pay. Don't just get things for free. Because if something is coming for free, then it's either a trap or something, very dangerous, because in this world there is actually nothing that is coming for free. Even for you to learn, to pay attention, to make sure that you pay something. That's why when you understand the value of things, it's easier. Even as a country to say, if you want to work out on our energy project, it's not coming for free. It will require push and pull. It also requires disruption from, disruption of the market sometimes, and it also require your old trading partners to be angry with you at one point. But that is a price we have to pay. Especially if we want to, do something great. And there's a news coming from South Africa there. Because in the weekend there was, one of well-known researcher who worked for African Peer Review Mechanism and also South Africa Institute of International Relations. That this Stephen Gratz is who was abducted and murdered in the weekend, and there's a lot of. He has been a senior researcher in, and also he's been working with a research institution, particularly African Peer Review Mechanism, and also South Africa Institute of International Relations, International Affairs. And his kidnapping and killing. There's a lot of questions because don't know what will happen, because they are saying it's a Jewish Jewish person, and authority are saying it's not related to ongoing ongoing conflict, but there's still an investigation going on because senior researcher at the age of 55 was kidnapped and killed. But he also realized to say, maybe it's a random, case. But there's a lot of questions being asked to say, is this a hate, a movement against, the Jews, or what happened? Or just a part of, criminal activities happening in South Africa? Because statistics are indicating that, at average, 60 people died every day in South Africa due to murder, being killed. And it's not an accident, just murder to being killed. And, that is what's happened. And it's unfortunate you see APRM is also giving condolences to what have happened, because this guy was a brilliant researcher and head of diplomacy in South Africa, Institute of International Affairs. And they contributed intensively, especially looking at governance, and also developmental research, and he was killed. And that is South Africa for you. That is our neighbor for you. Because anything can happen. Somebody says South Africa is a movie. Somebody says South Africa, you don't know what's going to shock you next. It's a city. You don't know what will shock you. You just wait for the next episode. Because looking into that, you also realize that the person who we thought was, and you really cannot judge people based on what you see. The person who, in my view, I thought he was a clean guy. In my view, I thought he was the guy who survived. But you realize to say that life is not operating like that. You realize when you look at, for example, what's happening with the head of police, chief of police. I think by tomorrow, you must expect a communication from Cyril Ramaphosa. Especially, who is going to take over from those, generals? Top five generals who, not really to say they are competing, but, they are potential, to take over, the head of, police, in South Africa. Because, Feni Masemura is in trouble, but he's faced with, charges that are related to Kate Matara, tender approval, because, what you need to look at is that that case of, over 300 million tender by subs is what bring a lot of people in trouble. And you realize that at the end of the day, you need a signature. You need approval from the head of police and all these things. But you realize to say, you really do not know what will happen. A lot of people are saying no. General Mkwananzi must take over, but you don't know who is the best, and who is the best in South Africa to take over. But you see, what will happen moving forward. And while we are there, as I indicated, when it comes to Sudan, it was stated that drone warfare intensified in Sudan at Kordofan. Stated that 3 years into Sudan war, Kordofan has become the most intense battleground between the army and the paramilitary rapid support forces, which with civilian increasing caught in deadly drone war. Because now Sudan has intensified, the resistance, and they stated that in SAS Kordofan drill, in SAS Kordofan, trader Ahmed says drones are constant presence. They never leave the city. He said, describing fear they bring across the region, and these drones are hitting markets, homes, hospitals, and killing dozens of people at the time. And the United Nations says that more than 500 civilians were killed by drone strike between January and mid-March alone, highlighting the growing use of advanced yet relatively cheap weapons in populated areas. And the question should always be to say, where are these things made from? Are they really made in Sudan? If UN is saying between or more than 500 civilians killed, that is just civilians between January and mid-March by cheap drones. And when you look in DRC, you also realize to say drones are being used and took down a lot of commanders of M23. And the question should always be to say, how do you protect yourself from such kind of weapons? And the drones really don't just look at them as they are there to take pictures. Some of them are lethal weapons. That's why authority, they are always very angry, especially if you are flying drones in populated areas or flying drones in near the airports. People must really look at them to say what's really happening. Because they should always be in concern, because advanced technology can also become very dangerous. Drone can be used for a lot of things. Some countries, they spy other countries' resources. And some can be used as weapons. Some can also be used to look for trade opportunities and also look for minerals. And realize that technology will bring for us one day. But is how we are going to deal with it. It's also how we must have not really to say advanced technology, also to detect technology. Because with what is happening now in Sudan, people realize that the war fighting with shotguns and assault rifle is a wasting of time. Because by the time you prepare in your military camp, the drone is already saying good morning to you, and you become the casualty of that struggle. But what is necessary is that learn and also understand how to protect yourself. To say, if you look at the history of drones, you look at the roles of drones, you realize that it's not only about pictures. You realize it's not only about transportation, as some are used to transport even blood, especially during emergency situation. Some are used to transport many other things, but can also be used for dangerous activities. If a criminal syndicate get use of these drones, remember that you are finished. And it's quite necessary to understand the technology before it comes to you. You must already understand it, because it's not only meant for good things, but also for dangerous things. And it's stated that both sides are believed to be using foreign supply technology, according to Amnesty International. That is, the RSF has access to Chinese-made drones, while the Sudanese army deploy Turkish and Iranian models. A business person will not suffer in trade zones, because if this international institution is indicating that His paramilitary has Chinese-made drones and Sudanese army using Turkish and also Iranian-made drones. Remember that stuff out there. If that two drones come to Africa, remember that we are finished, because us, we can fight for anything. We can fight for anything, even things that we do not know. Because if these guys are fighting for oil, oil that they cannot touch, oil that they cannot own, and also oil that you cannot refine on your own, oil that are not traded in your currency. And you just ask yourself a question to say, who really cares as Africans, and how much is one drone, and how will this situation going to end? Or people enjoy war too, or there's somebody who does not want peace to come in Africa so that they can also survive from those blood minerals. But let's look at a short commercial break, then from there we'll look at alternatives, we'll look at long-term strategies of energy, and also to ask a question asking me and you to say, if what is happening now is extended, which is most likely, if the current global trade shock is extended 2 weeks from now, especially with the Houthi movement going to cut another trade route, which is going to be make it difficult for European traders, and most importantly, Africans too. What can we do in terms of that? And the question should always be, what lesson can we learn in the long term? Are we only reacting to the situation, or we are also long-term strategic economic thinkers, or we are also people that understand economic scenario planning to say, if this scenario does not work, what is the alternative? Or we are just going to be absorbed by the suffering of the world when oil price, commodity price, price of doing business continue to be very, very expensive due to things that we did not start, but things that we can react to, and things that can also assist us when it comes to, you know, survival.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news?
Esira shisho, pagyotari kukwathere opovoro kara uasira ya kweni ochisho. Watuchi itana basic mental health first aid course. Haiganjwa oshari chamhongi kwa mboka iri iyo, yo NHP. Watapewa unongo unonseo na kene una okutongorora omadidiriko ugopetameko igenasha nupiakadhi nenge omathidakano opamadhiraviro kuchane omokatiko kumekoe nenge anironga pamwe nangoe. Osho otopewa unongo ukene una okuya kwa thena nukuya pa ea bidhido yiri mwanjira omanga upya kadiboka inauru darara kuyerere ounji na kene unokara uishangitha tarira po epanja yao yo nhp.com.na epangono maradura thano odhina okurandura NHP rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than The Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager. Wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngelo wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete okoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe kike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi tayo loka. Opone ushe indife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe mbali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
of the early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM.
We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. It's 3 minutes past the hour of 7. And, we are moving forward. And the discussion for today is, it's not a different discussion from what we've been discussing. It's a mending of a debate that has been in the public, and is ending meat to the conversation or meat to the bones that have been around, particularly looking at our long-term plan on dealing with two critical elements that are very critical for national development, that is energy, and that is also, fuel. To say what is our long-term strategy, particularly in dealing with those two aspects, because currently as we are speaking, we are vulnerable to all kinds of shocks because you don't have control over your engine of development. You don't have control over engines of development. If somebody said tomorrow, we are not going to trade with Namibia, we are not going to send oil to Namibia, or our electricity must be paid this amount, we do not have any option, because we are repeating the same mistake that other countries have done, particularly having one plug or one extension plugged to one source of energy. And that is also a situation that comes to the conversation, especially when it comes to electricity, when it comes to fuel. We spoke more on diversification, but are we seeing any aspect of diversification of our economy in terms of those two critical elements? It's you to come and address me. We are seeing an alternative presented as a renewable energy. But an economist gave a presentation to say, actually, renewable energy is a good form of energy as an alternative or as a supplement, but not as a main cause. And that is one of the things that was presented to say, yes, a good supplement, but not as a main cause, because we still want to see, we are not in doubt of any form of renewable energy, but we still want to see countries that have entirely developed on renewable energy only. that has entirely developed on that aspect. Then we had to see to say, no, Namibia, we can be able to move this way. Now, what prompted the conversation today, if the conversation has always been on the table? What prompted the conversation for today is additional pressure to the global trade route. Because if you look at your map very well, particularly looking on top of Africa, and you look at countries such as Djibouti, then you look at the Red Sea, you'll be able to realize that the Houthis have did not just won, they have moved their equipment actually to make sure that in days to come, they are going to block the Strait of Bab el Mandeb Strait. That is the state of Bab el Mandeb. It's not the state of Strait of Hormuz. It's additional, trade route that opened the way to the Red Sea. And that if that is closed, remember that the trade hubs such as Djibouti and the many others will not operate. And that can also, the pain that is going to be felt. Then our conversation will always be to say, for us to survive in the next 6 months, we must not to make a rush solutions. We must continue thinking about how to deal with those two critical elements. It's fuel and also energy. Because if we understand how to deal with those two critical elements, then it will assist us moving into the future. Because as we are speaking now, yes, we have oil. But civil society organizations say, no. We do not have clear information on what's going on in that aspect. Updates are not, we are not also getting updates to say what's happening in the oil industry. Is it quiet? Is it coming out? Or we still have to wait for somebody to come and present to us. And the other thing is also that we are at a time where we have already started with, it's no more about exploration, it's about the real deal. But in terms of policies, we are still debating, we are still not clear. How is that going to end? And we must always be fast about that. Because it's like you already put the pot on the stove. It's already on firewood, but you are still debating which cow we should slaughter, how we should slaughter with. What are we going to slaughter the cow with? And that's our situation with oil and gas. To say okay, people have started, but the policy is still on debated. So you know we are going to cook a pig, or we are going to cook a goat. We are going to slaughter this one. Who? There is still a debate going on, but, people have already started. But how are things going to be? Are we going to use our old policies? Or this one is going through? Because I was listening to the debate in Parliament. I say, it's tough out there. We want the policy to be passed, but, with, maybe additional amendment to that. But we are yet to see, because, that is also a critical thing to look into. Good morning.
Yes, Shombe.
Yeah, how are you?
Hi, man.
Hello? Hello? Yeah, I'm good.
Mm.
How is the 31st of March? How is the morning today?
No, everything is just fine. Africa must, even if things are bad, we are fine.
Yeah, we are, because we are used to problems, ne?
No, it's not that you are used to the problem, because you know when you are alive, most you are fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, when you are alive, then you are fine.
It's true. Even the fact that you are breathing and talking other, because other people, they are not where you are.
Yeah, that is exactly.
I think that is a good philosophy to live by, because somebody told me to say, look, you may think you don't have something, but there are people who want to be like you. And that's a great motivation. Everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you are alive, you have the opportunity to put things right.
What is your take?
You know, our issue is like we prioritize politics over governance. That's where the problem is now.
Mm-hmm.
Because for us, it's politics. Nice speeches, you know. We know how to create positions, fighting positions, rising positions.
Mm.
That is not governance. No.
It's politicking. So,
we are just politicking. So at the end of the day,
yeah.
The government thingy now, the state government itself, it's where now we have been tested. It's like we have been tested, not for the first time. It has been always there. But we think we are okay.
Are you not realizing that now?
You know me. When you sometimes you read in geopolitics,
yeah,
I came to understand that Namibia is a client state. You know what is a client state? Yeah, a client state it's an extension of a franchise system, a franchise state of the global system like the American
client relation.
The countries that are controlling the world. Because when you realize that, you know, most of the African countries, when you even read the issue of the non-alignment, something, decolonization of Africa, you know, all these countries must get independence because of the Americans. Because without the Americans, then the invasion of Africa would not have been stopped. You understand? Because when the American intervened now, to end the colonialism and the invasion of Africa was not done simply because they really want to end colonialism. Just because they wanted a new market, because they were not part of it.
You are right, because we did not move. We just moved to another master.
Yes, because the thing is that when it started with the scramble of Africa. You know, the Germans, the Portuguese, or whatever, the French, the English, they set their own government. They are the one who is in charge of the government. Themselves, South African, the Boers, they even have to put the apartheid system. They are themselves in the office. But the Americans have to come in to say, look, if they are the one in charge now, they control the whole state now.
Just hold on.
Great news! Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Impa? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Impa has to offer at an unbeatable price. Impa, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
That's why there was no way American could have get access to the African natural resources, even in Namibia, under the games of South African apartheid. For them, the only thing that they have achieved is to say, look, let's advocate for the independence of this country. Because America is the one who brings democracy.
Indeed, they brought.
Yeah. So for them, they created now a satellite state. Like, give the governance to the indigenous people themselves.
But we are in charge.
At the same time, they were also teaching them how they are going to give them a system of governance to run their country. That's how America now came to the market to get the new market they are in now. That's why they put the non-alignment to say, look, you countries that are non-aligned, they should not side with any country rather than the Americans.
That's
the satellite state now. That's how the satellite state were.
You know what? There was a debate I think it's a caucusing of African Union chairperson to say, guys, don't give a position to Djibouti's satellite state. I just remember now. Okay, I want to get one thing very clear. Because, you know, Africa, they want to develop, but it seems like they are not divorcing themselves from things that are making them so painful about. I want to ask to say, are the unwritten rules of trade? Because I was watching now, WTO, these ministers are fighting. They are not agreeing on a lot of things, especially when it comes to trade. Are the unwritten rules to say, if I remove myself from this, or the unwritten rules which are indicating that Africa should not be given this industry unless they are trading with us?
Look, they are not right. They are written, ne?
And hidden.
They're not really written, but the rules which are there.
Mm.
But the problem is we are not reading. They write written.
But honestly, the question is the same thing that people get angry when you say, no, why do I have to buy oil from Oman if I can go to Nigeria and buy oil, refine one?
Let me tell you, because the thing in it, it's all about monopoly.
Mm.
All the non-alignment states, they are all kind states. America is the one who has the monopoly over them, the Europe. European Union, they have monopoly over those countries. Simple mathematics like that. They are not going to do business outside the agreement which they have. That's why I'm telling you, you can say whatever you want to say, but I'm telling you how the global economy and politics design, Africa must always produce natural resources, cheap labor, raw materials.
And cheap labors.
That is the model of the client state. That's how it's been designed.
And they must always be divided.
They must always be there. Anyone now who try now to
unite
that model, then the regime change. It's
crime against humanity.
you are not wrong
because anybody who, because I was also angry to see that it's a Belgium diplomat who is being prosecuted. Now, how can you prosecute somebody at the age of 93 about the killing of Patrice Lumumba? You can just see that something is not Bocha. It's not right.
Bocha.
I say it's a Bocha. Because he has nothing to lose anymore.
Yeah, but why you have to bring it even that the whole, where were you the whole time?
It's the same thing with Gaddafi to say, I think we made a mistake. It's not really a mistake. It's not a mistake. You knew exactly what you were doing.
Yeah, so here, the thing, but for us now, that's why in Namibia, for instance, people are just there for fighting for politics. There's nothing.
And the other thing which I'm seeing is that, I think we have a lot of things on our plate, and we can't achieve everything by 2030 or 2035. Because if you just look, for example, on, let's take railway, you take the airline, then you take fuel, then you take also, electricity. Then you can just take two things there. You can't have everything.
So,
I think we have a lot of things in the plate also.
Tara, ask me. Everything of us is just at the beginning stage. Infant stage. Everything of us just at the infant stage.
And we are just at the opening every day.
So yeah, that's why when you want to see, you know, when you want really to see that, bring the issue of question of the land. Then when you see the European and the Americans on the table.
You see them.
Just bring the issue of the question of the land.
You see them.
But when you fight for your politics, how many politics, what? No, they're just quiet. Because you are not challenging the economy. You are fighting for politics. Because governance, land is governance. It's not politics. It's an economy aspect of it. That's why you can see that, look, I said it many times. Look, the question of oil is not about the availability of the oil.
Yeah.
The affordability, the price of the oil.
Mm.
Are we going to afford them?
No.
Your prime minister was there. No, don't worry. What is it? It's okay. Those are politics. That's a statement, political statement. Mm. But they are saying the affordability. When the reality comes in, they have now the price of oil have to increase. What are they going to do about it?
And remember that they did
whatever step they take, my friend, that thing is not sustainable as long as the Strait of Hormuz is still close.
And another one is going to be close. There is this one to a Red Sea. Apparently, they are going to cut it again.
The other thing, where you need even to worry, I don't know whether it's true, but it's something like I see the newspaper that Namibia is importing 50% of fish from South Africa.
No, it's true. Remember that we are producing a lot of things that we don't consume.
You know how the mathematics works. These guys, they go in the Namibian Sea.
Yeah.
Then they take fish in the Namibia Sea. Then they go do packaging them in South Africa. Yeah. Then they brought them. It's the same way here. Tomatoes and other products have been produced in Namibia. Potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be taken to South Africa for packaging and come back to Namibia.
And you buy them.
It's the same way you take live animals to South Africa.
Yeah.
Then you can buy meat in Shoprite.
And tint meat.
Because the thing was, you know, back then, the law which was there in the fishing industry, the packaging have to be done on the land, not in the oceans. Now these guys are just coming in, and they catch fish in the Namibian water. There is a package, everything there. They go. You know, back then, fishing industry produced a lot of employment. Why? Because all the whole packaging and everything was in Vavasway.
Now people are even doing things in the sea. The people have their own. When they go there, they just have finished products already. Do you also know that thing?
For us, it's politics. We are good at politics. To push each other, fighting for CT, divided to see who is not supporting us, see who what.
And the one thing which make me angry is you can't shoot down evidence-based argument. You realize to say some people who have good ideas, they don't have numbers. And it's actually a sad moment in our life to say we can't stand up and say, here, Lazarus, I agree with you. I know we are not from the same party, but what you are saying is making sense. Why can we make it work?
Because in democracy, it's competition. That unruly competition. It's because of the ideological stance. We say, look, those are opposition people. Because the word opposition is like, there's no way the opposition, you are always opposing. That's how they look at it.
Can I not go home and say, guys, what this guy was saying, can we try to find a way, even if we make it different, can we not accept?
For them, that's why you can see something can be introduced today.
Yeah.
Then they are going to introduce it in another form. They don't want, we have paradigmatisms.
But at least as long as it's working, we must take things as...
They take time.
Because
they implemented it now. They knew, that idea was said by who, and they don't want it like that.
Oh, it's a political credit.
It's a political credit. That's what they are trying to avoid. But we don't have time, my dear.
We don't have time. I fully agree. We don't have time. Yeah.
Yeah, because how we play now in Namibia is to say, look, we thought when you are the minister, apparently you know everything.
It's not true.
It's not true because some of you guys are not academic.
Look, you know what is very funny also? You realize to say there is a certain director who has been in the ministry for a very long time, but this guy is not really politically active. But you can see that he has... more understanding than anybody else within that ministry, but his politics we understand, But a clever minister is somebody who can say, no, go, can you come and teach me how these things are working? Not just come to say, because I'm David, move.
Because you don't want to know, to be seen, apparently, you don't know.
But people can also say that you don't know in public. What is worse now?
You don't know, you want, that's why I said that. Look, ask me, for myself.
Yeah.
I can tell you, if you want to defeat me, just put mathematics. I'm not saying
But I only know
plus four times water. That is what I know.
Yeah.
But if I have to do something, I'm telling you, I have achieved a lot of things with mathematics. But I just have to go to the people who know mathematics, who know computer properly.
Yeah.
Can you please assist me with these things? I don't know. Why should I need to pretend as if I don't know?
No,
I'm not going to move. I'm going to look stupid.
Yeah.
If the thing fails, because the thing is on you.
It's true. No, you are right.
The thing is on you.
You are right.
You see, that's why here we must continue. That's why even Cuba, and this is what the mistake that you are making. Cubans, they have always a radical approach. The same radical approach that we have seen in Namibia, especially in most of the opposition parties who are trying to be socialist a bit. But I'm telling you, they need in your culture, when you fight the Americans, that war will never end.
No, they'll come for you. Yeah, they'll come for you.
My friend, when you oppose them, when you start competing against them, it's just a matter of time before they come to you.
But it took them long with Cuba because it took them long to take them.
But in the Cubans were just relaxing. Cubans were just relaxing. They never beat any, capacity. Military capacity, Western capacity. They are just there talking. Imperialism,
but they invested in health. They did not see the necessity of military and other things. I think their system is somehow not. I don't understand it very well. Yeah.
Americans, they have already said the enemy is the socialism.
Okay, just hold on.
When life starts squeezing me like a lemon, I know what to do.
With Express Credit's easy payday loans, you can get up to 9,000 Namibian dollars to help ease your financial squeeze in under 15 minutes. Visit expresscredit.com.na. Express Credit, money when you need it.
Celebrate Namibia's Independence Month with amazing deals at Exodus Investment CC. Get solar lights for just 100 Namibian dollars. We also stock CCTV Wi-Fi cameras, TV mounts, DSTV and GoTV satellite TV accessories, plus replacement remotes for TVs, air conditioners and many other electronic accessories only at Exodus Investment CC. Visit us today at Shop 7, Black Chain Shopping Center in Katutura, next to Bank Bentuk. We are open daily, including public holidays, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. for your convenience. Call or WhatsApp 081-3191-395 and find us on social media. Exodus Investment CC, your trusted store for quality electronics and accessories. Hurry! Our Independence Special runs until the 30th of April 2026. And remember, Exodus Investment CC. We courier countrywide. Call us now.
Okay, I want to ask you a question. Do you think we have a plan on energy, on fuel in the long term?
No, we don't have
Marawat.
You know what Namibia could have pushed before even starting this oil thing they are fighting for. My friend, you need a bigger storage of oil. Also, you need the oil refiners.
But I think storage is a good thing. Storage is what matters. Storage is, the number one. Yeah. Yeah.
Look, this aspect. Oil refinery and oil storage. those are the things that we were supposed to pay.
I think I think it's a good start before even you think about trading and other things. I think storage is meta. Is what meta?
Why South Africa have the oil refinery when they don't have oil? Well, having an oil refinery doesn't mean that you must have oil.
Yeah.
No, you must have a capacity to refine oil. Even if this oil that we are fighting for,
we need to refine them.
Even if we have them and we don't have oil refinery, the price of oil will remain the same. Why? Because
it's not a finished product. Yeah.
Somewhere and come back. That is production cost, transport cost to go in and out. That's why the fish, that's why it's to say, look, fish are taken in Namibia. They go to South Africa. That is money. They have to come in Namibia. That's money we see. Well, they put a value-added tax and all those import tax and duties. That's what makes fish and everything that's taken. What is the difference?
You know, I know somebody from the fishing sector who used to be, I think this naval operator. He said, no, you Namibians, you don't know, apparently we don't know the type of fish that Namibia has, because those fish are being eaten in the Middle East and other places. He just said, no, you guys are just eating snook here and others. This is not fish. And you are just shocked to realize, to say sometimes,
I was shocked when the Namibian collapsed. Just to realize that Namibia they don't own even any airplane. It's the same with the Namibian.
That question will make you beaten up. No, it's a good question. If we have how many? We don't have, ne? I think we do.
No, we don't have. What do we have? That's why I'm saying that.
No, I'll get those if data.
If government could have. Those fishing vessel or something, they couldn't go in there and catch fish for free for people to eat. Food. The reason why they could not go in the fish directly and catch fish and go feed the people, because
now I want to check.
The people who have them, it's a commercial thing.
Oh.
Those vessels, it's a commercial thing. And
they're
going to clean their own business. You understand?
And there's also, I think you are also making sense, because I also want to, if you want to understand that, I know we might have, but, you know, when you want to understand everything, look at the specialist in fixing those vessels. You realize to say, not from here.
Yeah,
you realize to say not from here, although we have this institute in I think at the coast, but those guys are not from here.
Yeah,
the engineers themselves. You realize to say, but you are making sense. But what I have thinking of is that we might have, but not many as we think, or not as many as they are used for commercial. But I still have to find out in that aspect to see how many of the fishing vessels do we own.
For the Namibians.
Yeah.
For the Namibians themselves. That one I doubt. Who are those?
No, I want to check.
Just want to be proven wrong.
You may be right because I want to confirm one or two.
When it comes to the oil, that's why I'm saying when they were attempt to build the oil storage, what happened? Those guys, they are trying to inflate prices, you know, the construction prices, the tender prices for that thing. But that thing could have assisted, you know, could have already, you know, solved some of this problem. Because the problem is our people. You always, you never see that this is a state thing. It's everybody property now. Why you would have to inflate to press to such extent that instead of even make the oil stretch more bigger, you inflate the place and you only build a small storage.
You know, sometimes I just realize that not really to say we are not long-term thinkers. We just think about ourselves. And this eating us now because, like you said, we have a lot of, we are still opening projects. We are still discussing what we want, what we need to do.
We are thinking about politics. Politics is in the personal interest, individual interest. You understand? Politics is not the, that's why when we talk of governance,
yeah.
Governance is everybody knows.
Yeah, yeah.
Politics is division, it's click. You understand?
Yeah.
Politics is click.
Mm.
It's division.
Politics
they are not with us. They are what? They are enemy. Just imagine, look at what the vice president said. You can never be in any level in Namibia at that level and you are still talking enemy. Who are the enemy in the country?
Oh.
Yeah. No, some things, no problem, some people, they are leaders, but...
No, she said what? She said what? She said enemy?
The enemy apparently or swap.
Yeah. Man.
You can't use this word. This word cannot be used.
No.
You are dividing.
Now
you are in Ethiopian there. Oh, apparently.
Maybe, but is it not a political statement? Or is it wrong? Yeah.
It's a political statement, but that word cannot be used in independent Namibia, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people that you are saying enemies, they are your own people.
Mm-hmm.
You are in Mariental, or you get myself, you are there talking enemy. Those are your people. Those are your brother, your cousin, your other. Only that they differ with you politics. Now you want to call them enemy. That's the problem we have now.
But is it fair if it was during campaign?
Whether it's campaign or what, my friend, I said you cannot use that word.
Uh-huh.
That's why even the word opposition,
uh-huh.
We don't need to use that word. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because politics, yeah, or I money man.
But in UK and the US, they don't say opposite. They say minority party. Ne? What do they say?
They just look. Let me tell you one thing.
Yeah.
They don't use say minority or they only say Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah, and sometimes they say leaders of minority, leaders of what? I hear you.
They don't use those words.
No,
but you know what the difference.
Yeah.
They have the right wing and left wing.
Mm.
The radical and the soft power. That's the approach they use.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you see the Republican now.
Mm.
Those are the radical, the hard power of the American politics.
Mm.
The Democrats, these are democratic, they are saying diplomatic. Mm. They use diplomacy.
Mm. They are liberals.
They are liberal. That is the soft power. Because there are only, the ideology is only two-sided. It's the conservative and liberal. That's the ideology of politics.
Left and right.
Soft and right. But in Asne, we used to have, take for instance Ubuntu.
Mm-hmm.
Ubuntu, it also has two-sided, the radical and the conservative and the liberal.
Mm-hmm.
How? Let me tell you a thing. When they said, I am because of you, we are because of them, they are because of us. That thing, that's a soft power. Because that is mutual. Did you understand the other side of the politics of Ubuntu? He said, the Sharia law. That is the other side of Ubuntu.
Mm-hmm. So it's also on the how do they call it? And I think I need to take my notes. I'm getting old. They say they used to call it the political spectrum of I think ideologies. So some people, you are not left, you are not right, you are a bit centered. Depends on
That's why out of that you find neoliberal and what like that.
Mm-hmm.
But conservatives, they are always there. That's why you never find a new conservative. Conservative, just conservative.
It's in or out.
You are either in or out. But you find neoliberal, what like that.
Okay, now, just because of time, now you mentioned one thing. One of the things that I think I take out from this is to say, because I was just trying to get it to say, what can we do? The storage part, I think it's a point number one from fuel. From electricity, what do you think?
That's all said there. From electricity, we still, look, let me clear, we are pressed with energy. The sun, we can do solar, we can do same about from the ocean, ocean water. Then you can also do hydro, you can do, you know, wind, you know, all these things, we have the capacity. You understand? Even the coal, we have it. Because when the world is moving toward green energy, all sorts of green energy, I mean, they have potential for it.
Even coal itself, why can't we use coal?
Coal? No, because, you know, the one that we use here is the Faneca. But you always air pollution and all those things. But we are saying we have to get rid of it. It's already there, but we say we need to look at more on it, green. Green energy. That's why NamPower, even if when they were created, they never come up with anything. New source of energy or to be, you know, much bigger thing, even to upgrade or to extend, you know, the hydropower there in what? That's why you see NamPower still continuing buying electricity from South Africa.
And these engineers are very are always very angry. You know, when you go to ECB, you realize to say this proposal from NamPower, especially when it comes to the price of electricity, they reason to say, guys, we are paying a lot of money. We are paying a lot of money. But the question is that there are projects which they are doing, but I think they are still small to make changes. I think in the independent power project, is it Oshakati Premiano, which was ending to solar, you realize to say, there is still a lot that is needed to be done because it's still more than 50% of what we are buying.
My dear, the economy is all about energy, either electricity or oil. Those two.
Okay, okay.
If you don't have sovereignty or like self-reliance on it.
Yeah.
Because in South Africa, the reason why you have sometimes a low shed in South Africa and Namibia still have electricity. Why? Because Namibia is paying the money. They are making good business in Namibia
and
in South Africa.
And they are also not going to be happy when we are on our own. Do you know that?
It's a consumer. Look, a client statement. It's a consumer state in terms of economy. When you are a client state, you are just a consumer state, a consumer economic type of thing. Because you have two things now in that market, or demand and supply. Or supplier is a producer. A demander is a consumer, in other words. For us, we are just consuming.
You don't change. Okay, okay.
We need electricity. Where are we getting the electricity for South Africa? We want what? Where are we going to get it? We need to import it like that. So.
Okay, let's continue with the mathematics tomorrow, ne?
Okay.
All right, thank you. That is it's a hard talk. I get one thing today. I never thought about storage because you can't just say, no, guys, we're in trouble. Let us make and refine our own oil. I think storage is a good thing to say. What storage capacity do you have? Because you always need something in the storage in the time of need. I do not know if our economist thought about this. If our scenario planners, those who think on our behalf, because they are always those who think. Remember that the operation of the state is that they are always those who think for us to say what will happen if this thing happen. And when Cuba is in trouble, how long is going to take when South Africa also get in trouble with the US? I'm not saying it's going to happen now, but they are not good friends. And if you're just a consumer. And have you ever asked yourself a question to say, how come for 36 years we are just buying toothpicks from China in foreign currency? Why can't we do something different? why even we don't have factories to make toys for our kids. The toys that you are buying here, these are experiments of people. They are not real things. The toys in other countries are drones already. Why can't we make those things? Don't we see any market? You know that there are also element of importing water from outside the country, just water, water themselves. And I'm not lying. Go into your research, then you realize to say we have a lot of things to do. When it comes to energy, now we are at it's a testing moment now for NDP6, and it's not a good thing. Is this situation going to be the reason we don't achieve 500,000 jobs by 2030? Is it going to be a reason we don't expand our economy by 6% and up by 2030? Or is it going to be a testing time to say we are very tired, we cannot continue suffering external forces? Then you must come up with the bold plans to say, what are we choosing? Are we choosing a strong storage? Or we are choosing to revive our airline? Or we are choosing both? Or we are choosing to build a power plant that can sustain us? Or we are still thinking? Because the critical infrastructure of development is electricity and fuel. If you don't have that, we must forget about Vision 2030. And I really hope we have a plan beyond the 2 months. We have a plan, because otherwise it can become economically chaotic. Good morning.
Morning, David.
How are you, Chief? Good. How are things going?
No, thank God, things are great. You say we must always thank God.
No, we must always thank God.
Don't forget about that.
Don't forget that, even if whatever you go through, there is somebody who wants to be like you. You are a role model to a lot of people, and you are doubting yourself.
And you know, that is significant or unknown fear that we always inflict us with. That me, I cannot do anything, because when I listen to you in the morning, I pay very much attention, because you have some kind of motivation.
I should start my own church.
You know,
they are saying hope is very expensive. People can do anything to buy hope. But I hear you. We need motivation. Every person needs motivation.
I'm telling you, my brother, because people think that I'm a non-entity.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the body that is described in the scripture. The body has got many members.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed.
And all of them, they function, you know, they complement each other.
Yeah.
And all these other things. I really love those, the way you, know, the preamble that you give and say how to. So now, coming to the issues in our own context and other, so just to digest on two things that the lesson that I got. And as I follow the interplay, this conflicting interest and other issues, I found out that yes, it's true, meetings are taking place, the war is raging, and the people are dying and a lot of things. I don't know whether some of these are really universal principles of humanity, where we can say yes, this is where these are constitutional principles, and they are also should also be complied to by other organs and sectors. I mean actors. So I'm just now talking about the war that is going on there.
Yeah.
And you were also mentioning that in Sudan, things are just, you know,
People are using drones, and I remember that there was a concern on drones being around the different towns in Namibia. You know, this aviation institution was very concerned to say this thing of drones, because remember drones started to be used as for cameras and all these things, but people realized that if we can put a rocket there, I think it can also do some justice. Then you have now things which are complicated. People are using drones now, even the rebels, they have drones.
Can you see now how we are talking about silencing of the gun?
Yeah.
And we have got a lot of things to do.
Mm.
I understand. That's why it's important that the sovereignty and the independence that you have.
But you should also remember, ne, some of the countries that we are trade partners with, I'm talking from the perspective of Africa, ne, you realize that you have a country which is a trading partner of a Western country or Eastern country, but you realize that when this country get into trouble, here you have this country assisting, but you also have business going on the other side also, the same country supplying drones to terrorists.
Yes, that's why they are talking about, some of those committees are talking about, yes, there are, you know, a lot of crisis, there's opportunities coming, and this one.
Yeah.
You know, there are always this kind of conflicting interests and things like that are happening. But it doesn't mean that you should really compromise your security.
Yeah.
You understand? Now we are talking about South Africa.
Mm.
And South Africa, I think, is a good lesson for us to learn, and for the world, actually.
Mm.
And most of, so that you now, at least, to safeguard these democratic principles and the right and the people themselves, the masses, and all this kind of atrocity that are being committed. So you now make sure that the... How do you position your especially those on the security cluster? And the state has that responsibility to ensure that those things are, you know, talking about satellites, talking about all these other things. And you really make sure that, just like what is happening in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So last time you were saying, okay, who knows whether this is Namnala, Mpanazi, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we thank God for people of those caribas.
Mm-hmm.
We really thank God for the people of those caribas.
And you know, in Namibia, there is this guy who, what did he do? He promoted himself and also gave himself a rise. Namibians, sorry.
I forgot to mention that.
How can you say, thank you, Bwana, for the promotion, and thank you for elevating you, signed by Bwana. Then you accept.
He was doing that by himself.
No, the guy became an acting CEO just for a moment. Then he promoted himself from a previous position, created another post, then gave himself a rise.
Then those positions, they have to go to the OPM before they are approved.
No, people they cook things, and you are accepting. You send yourself an email, then you accept it on the other side. Oh, thank you very much. I will be reporting to work.
No.
I think no. We really need to do something, especially in Namibia. The things that we do.
I was telling you that this ethical principle.
No, it's not. It's not just ethical. It's just maybe loopholes which have been there, because the loopholes which have been there.
Like in that particular thing.
The guy did his assignment very well, because he was not caught immediately. He was enjoying himself.
But all those documents they passed through personnel office. And the one who was, those who were, you know, set to be signing and,
you know,
things like that.
I need to be quoted well, né? Because if you go to Anti-Corruption Commission page, you'll be able to see that the guy was a HR, I think a HR officer. And I don't know if there was no senior position than that. Then he became an acting CEO. Then from there he created another senior manager, HR manager. Come again?
Which institution was that?
Go to the page of Anti-Corruption Commission and then you'll check it.
We like a saying page, man. We are busy also here. Oh.
Busy with what?
We study with the assignment that you were supposed to be our tutor even.
I'll come. But I think it's so.
The last time I asked you a number, you are still amazing. You are amazing the knowledge you have.
I'm doing what?
The knowledge to impart the knowledge that you own.
We are teaching each other. That the France will give it to you. But I think I have your number. I'll communicate.
You don't have my number. It's almost a year now since last year. You asked me to ask it from France. France, I asked him.
Yeah.
I'll send you up to now.
No, he can. He can.
The number for those people who can build us up, mold us.
No, it's
want to know some of these issues that you guys have gone through.
It's a good thing. Thank you.
So please, I really need your number.
Definitely. No, it will come.
Come where now?
Today, I'll send it today. I have yours.
Okay, please. So now, I don't know, maybe now I have to conclude with South Africa and the satellite and those things that you were talking about.
Yeah.
We're saying that you need to strengthen and enhance those kind of clusters that are working. They are coordinating themselves, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And you make sure that you control your space as well.
Mm-hmm.
And inculcate these things of patriotism. Because some of these things, they are really dividing us, and people want to protect their privilege. And all these other things. We understand this business and all these things. So let's not compromise our independence.
Yeah.
Our security, so that at least I'm sure that we find a way of silencing those guns and all this confusion.
Definitely.
Yeah, so thank you very much. No?
Thank you for input.
Yeah, we'll be following the South African issues.
We are watching the.
I'm sure that you don't be burdening the Ramaphosa too much with all those disinvestation and all these things. When you do now like that, you want to tell us that you snap and embarrass the things. No!
Mm-hmm.
So these are issues that you need to protect your sovereignty as well.
Indeed.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool.
Yeah, that will bring us to the end of our conversation. And we are saying it's politics and economy is one thing. Politics and economy is one thing. Because they say whatever happened on a political front, if you have a brilliant politician who can communicate policy effectively, then the economy will be able also to dance properly. Because if you look at what the U.S. have mastered is the art of, political economy. Because if you look at the way Trump and his administration is dealing with, especially with the war, you realize that most of the intensive bombardment, especially that affect the global economy, is done in the weekend when, the stock market is closed. But on Monday, there is negotiation. Then you understand that, there's a lot of things to learn. So this will bring us to the end of our conversation. And, we'll give the mic to the big mic to unpack the day. The mic to the big mic to unpack the day. And from there, we'll be able also to continue. And stay tuned with unpacking. And from there, we can also be able to listen to Kufamosha. Then Sizuma. Then from Sizuma, you have OTR. then you proceed throughout the day, especially when you are bringing mulch to the conclusion. Tomorrow is the 1st of April. It's April Fool's Day. And understand that there are historical, understanding of why is it called April Fool's Day. And it's not only related to Namibia. It's also something that is beyond that. And it's good to do your research on why is it called this day. Why people make a lot of jokes on this day and some communication which really can shock you. But it's a day that has been around. But yeah, see you around. Shop.